Thank you, Pastor. Would you lift your hands and just entertain the good spirit of the Lord that's here right now? Amen. God is in this house. Let's just recognize Him. God, we recognize Your awesome spirit that's here right now. Oh, holy God. Oh, Jesus, thank You for it. We thank You for it tonight, God. Oh, we are so thankful. We are so thankful, God. Praise God, praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Would you say thank You, Jesus? Amen. I had many thoughts while Pastor was up here speaking. And one thought was, I don't know if everybody realized, but there was much word in His words. Much word in His words. Brother Worth was quoting many things from the Word of God. And it didn't sound like quotation. It just sounded like words of wisdom. And that's what they are. But it came... Much of it came directly from the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. He was talking about the Word tonight. I've had people tell me that they don't read the Bible because they can't understand it. Well, number one, they tell me that the King James Version was written on a fifth grade level. There's so many translations because people say they can't understand, but many of these translations change the real true meaning, so we must be very careful. What a lot of people don't realize about the Word of God and reading the Word of God is, as Pastor said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Many people don't realize that even if they don't understand what they are reading, that Word of God is going into their system. It's going through their mind and into their heart and into their life. And we don't have to understand everything that we read because this word is a living word. It's not just words and it's not just stories, but it is alive. And when we read it, we're putting it into our system. And anything alive is going to move, it's going to work, it's going to speak, it's going to help, it's going to encourage. And though we may not understand what we are reading at the moment, we will just continue to be faithful in the reading of the Word of God. Whenever the Word is preached, our understanding will be opened. Because even though we didn't realize it, that word that we already read is working in us. And then whenever it is preached in the pulpit, it makes a connection in us. And our understanding is opened. And we are able to understand what God is trying to say and the works that He's trying to work in our life. Amen. Thank God for the Word. There's power, power, power in the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. And Brother Worth, I've got news for you. I have been called an ox. Years ago, I was preaching in Louisiana for an elder who's gone on to be with the Lord now. And I went in, I think it was on a Wednesday night, and they were having a contest, and it was the ladies against the men, and they were raising money for building fund to pay off their church, fairly new church. And they had horses taped on the walls. And these horses were racing around, and for every dollar, you moved an inch or so, and the lady's horse was out front, and it was meeting the man's horse. And so the elder walked to the pulpit and came offering time, and he said, I told some of the brethren tonight we're not putting the money on the horses. We're putting the money on the ox. Everybody just started laughing, and I just stood up and said, he just called me an ox. And then the elder just kind of smiled and backed up, and he was a quiet man, and he just kind of chuckled a little bit, and he said, well, I didn't mean a big ox. I meant a little ox. I said, if I'm going to be an ox, I want to be a big ox. I want to be some puny little old ox. Amen. And so I have been called an ox before, and that's right. So I need to turn some dirt tonight. Yes, indeed. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God bless you. And I want to say thank you to Pastor and Sister Wirtz. They have fed this ox, I'm telling you. I don't know how much plowing I'm going to be able to do. And they sure haven't muzzled this ox, I tell you. I need a muzzle on me sometimes when it comes to food. Help me, Jesus. Praise God. Such a strong presence of the Lord here tonight. In prayer this morning, the Lord spoke something into my spirit. And it was quite strong. And when I went to the Word of the Lord and opened my notebook to notes that I just jot down and ideas and thoughts, I realized, and I wasn't aware of this until the moment that it took place, but I had already jotted down the thought days ago, and I had forgotten about it. And so the Lord began to work on me with this for this service tonight. Praise God. I feel like we are in the right atmosphere. It's the right timing, and I believe that God's going to speak to us tonight. Amen. Just a simple word. Would you say a simple word from the Lord? We're going to John chapter 6. And from there we're going to James chapter 4. John chapter 6. And then to James chapter 4. Amen. James is right before 1 Peter. John chapter 6 and then to James chapter 4. And while you're turning there, let me again say thank you to the ministry and to this church. And I appreciate you beyond what words can say. God bless you tonight. John chapter 6, we're going to read one verse here, verse 44. Jesus is speaking and he said, no man, would you say no man? No man, that also means woman, all right? Amen. No man nor woman, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Amen. Then to James chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, James, the apostle, writes, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. We don't hear a lot about that nowadays. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Lord help me tonight. For a little while, I'm going to minister on this thought. Draw me nearer. Amen. Draw me nearer. We used to sing a song years ago, an old song, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. We're not hearing a lot of that nowadays. Seems like most of the singing we hear is about praise and worship and mercy and grace. But I believe that there is a God in heaven who desires for us to be near him, not to just speak to him from a distance, not to just send praise his way, but to draw near unto him. Amen. Would you hold the word of the Lord close to your heart if you don't have your Bible? Would you just hold your hand over your heart? Let's pray together for God to talk to us. God, we do need to hear a word from you. And we do desire to be close to you, dear God. And so we pray that you would reach down right now, that you would anoint our minds, that we may understand the word. Anoint our ears to hear, anoint our spirit to receive. We pray, O God, that you would speak and that we would know what you are saying, that when we leave here tonight, we will feel that closeness that you desire for us to feel. We pray, O God, that the power of the word would go forth in power tonight, discerning every heart, every thought, and every intent. We pray, God, that your word would divide asunder. Oh, God, that your word would do its work tonight. We thank you for it in your holy name, Jesus. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but as he is speaking to them, he is not only talking to them and those who may have been near to hear it, but he is speaking about all men. All men. Every one of us. When he's saying men, he is not only speaking of the male, but he is speaking of everyone that is born in this world, male and female. No man. Amen. Would you say it again? No man. When Jesus said no man, that meant he was including every person. In other words, there is nobody who can get by this. Amen. There is no one that this does not apply to. There is nobody that has such a connection or a right that they can bypass these words. No man. Amen. No man. Would you say, not even me? Would you say, not even the person sitting next to me? Would you say not even the preacher in the pulpit? No man. No man, Jesus is saying, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Amen. It's the only way that any man can come except the Spirit. Amen. Except the Father. Amen. Or the Spirit of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. No man can come unto me except he is drawn. Amen. It is impossible for a man to come to me unless the Spirit of God draws him. We can try to convince a man. We can try to argue with a man. We can try to cause a man to understand in many ways. We can read the word. We can read it aloud. We can point out the scripture. We can draw pictures. We can use examples and illustrations. But unless the Spirit of God draws a person, that person cannot come. Amen. Cannot come unto God. How sad that seems, and how final that seems, and how harsh and hard that seems to be. Amen. It looks here as if none of us have a chance to make it unless the Spirit of God were to draw us. I believe that what Jesus is trying to get across to these who were listening that day was that nobody can just wake up in the morning and decide, well, I think today is the day I'm going to live right, and today is the day I'm going to do right, and today is the day it's God's good day because I have decided, and then it has become my will and my desire. Oh yes, to give God my heart, and God is going to be so blessed, and he's going to be so happy because I have decided that I am coming to him. Amen. Jesus is saying that doesn't work that way. Amen. No man can come unless he is drawn. Oh, Jesus, but blessed be the name of the Lord our God tonight. Amen. The Spirit of God does draw man. Amen. The Spirit of God does draw a woman. The Spirit of God does draw a young person. The Spirit of God does draw. Oh, yes, it does. It does draw even a young child from time to time. And when the Spirit of God begins to draw an individual, when the Spirit of God begins to pull on them, understand that they are a blessed individual, that they are blessed. Amen. That's not them blessing God, but it's God blessing them. Amen. Nowhere in the Word of God does it declare to us, amen, to say the words, amen, to say the words, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. That is not in the Word of God anywhere. Amen. But it's if God accepts us and God begins to draw us. Friend, if you have ever felt the tug of God on your heart, if you have ever felt like weeping, if you have ever felt, amen, the Spirit of God watch over you. If you have ever felt any inkling of a desire to rise from your pew and make your way to an altar of prayer, if you have ever felt like lifting your hands and asking God to forgive you, you are one blessed individual. Amen. Oh, yes, you are. Is there anybody here tonight that remembers, amen, the first time you began to feel God tugging on your heart? You could not understand it. You could not explain it. It was something you may have never felt before. It was something that you may have never experienced before, but you knew that it had to be God. You knew that it had to be real, and you knew, I've got to obey this. And tonight you are thankful because God began to draw you. He began to draw you. If you have ever felt that, I wish you would lift your hands right now and thank God that you have felt the drawing of His Spirit. It's not a light thing. Hear me tonight. It's not a light thing. It's not a frivolous thing. It's not just a passing fancy. It's not a take it or leave it, but it is very important. It is very important, amen, that we understand that no man can come unless he is drawn of God. Praise God, praise God. I have seen God draw the old. And I have seen God draw the middle-aged. And I have seen God draw the young. And I have seen God draw the children. Oh, yes, I remember many years ago when I was just a young preacher, and they asked me to take over the nursing home services. And one Sunday, as I was finishing the service, and our singers and musicians were packing the instruments up, and I looked out in that little congregation of elder people, and I saw a man toward the back raise his hand, and I went back there to him, and when I leaned down to him, he was in a wheelchair. This small little man looked at me and he said, "Young man," he said, "my wife had this Holy Ghost you were talking about this morning." He said, "But I was raised," and he named the religion that he was raised in. And he said, "And I never did receive the Holy Ghost." But then a tear trickled down his cheek. And he looked at me and he said, "But I want the Holy Ghost." Amen. Oh, yes. What was this? This was the Spirit of God drawing, amen, a probably 90-something-year-old man. And I looked down at him and I was so young. Amen, maybe 21, 22 years old. And I said, "Well, sir, if you want the Holy Ghost, amen, you can have the Holy Ghost." Amen. And I just began to talk to him about repentance. And he began to pour his heart out to God. And I stood right there and I told him, I said, "I know you don't have the strength to pray really loud, but God understands that." And while he was sitting in that wheelchair in the middle of the cafeteria in that old folks' home, amen, I watched as the Spirit of God came down on that elder, and his lips began to tremble, and his chin began to quiver, and his tongue was loosed, and God gloriously filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in just a few moments' time. Friend, it doesn't matter how old an individual
individual is when the Spirit of God begins to draw them. Amen. It doesn't matter how strong they are or how weak they are. Amen. God doesn't have to have a strong individual. All he's got to have is a heart that will say, if you draw me, I will come unto you. Amen. If you draw me, I will come your direction. That's all God's looking for. It's somebody that will allow him, that will allow him to draw you. Is there anybody here tonight that desires for the Spirit of God to draw you nearer? Draw you nearer. Draw you nearer unto him. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to God. We have very close friends of ours, this, and I talk about them much. This lady is the one that won my wife to the Lord, and their children are our children's age, and their daughter is exactly a month to the day older than our oldest son, and their son is 3 months younger than our daughter, and so we had our children at the same time, and their daughter was, she was 3.5 years old. Amen. And they have pictures for many years on their refrigerator of the night that God filled her with the Holy Ghost at 3 years old. Amen. Praise God. And now she's 33 years old. And she doesn't even remember not having the Holy Ghost. As far back as she can remember, she's had the Holy Ghost. God, and she's a prayer warrior. Believe me, she can get a hold to God. And now her children, amen, have received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I had a happy day. I had a happy day a couple of weeks ago. My son sent a picture. He sent a picture to me of my 3.5-year-old granddaughter at the altar with her eyes closed and her hands lifted to heaven. And she told my daughter-in-law, she said, "Mommy, I want the Holy Ghost." Amen. What is this? This is a Spirit of God drawing. It draws the old and it draws the young. I feel a drawing presence of God in this house tonight. We are a blessed people. Amen. Could we recognize that Spirit of God right now? Could we tell him how glad we are that his drawing spirit is here tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. No man. This is not. Amen. Well, I decided to follow Jesus. I decided to live for him. Amen. I made my decision. Oh, there is a decision that has to be made. Oh, yes, but it's not just a mind decision. Oh, no, but there's spirit involved in it. Praise God. No man. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Amen. I'm preaching the truth tonight. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Amen. But there is a way. Amen. I didn't come tonight to disappoint anybody. I didn't come tonight to tell anyone that they will be rejected by God. I did not come to discourage anybody tonight, but I came to give you a key, praise God, a key that will cause the Spirit of God to draw you. James talked about it here. When he said the words in James 4, verse 8, when he said, "Draw nigh to God." Amen. Would you say it? Draw nigh to God. Amen. The word "draw" means approach. Approach. Amen. Approach the Lord.
Well, I thought that I could only come to God if His Spirit draws me. Amen. Oh, we have got to put ourselves in a position where the Spirit of God will draw us. Amen. That's what James is talking about here tonight. That if you want God to draw you, if you want God to draw near to you, then do something to let God know that you desire to draw near to Him. Do something to let God know that it is your desire, amen, that the Spirit of God would begin to draw you. Amen. In other words, if you want God to draw you, amen, then you do everything that you can do to get God's attention. Oh, yes, you get just as close. He didn't say, come on unto God, and God will draw nigh to you. He didn't say, touch the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you. He didn't say that. He just said, draw nigh. Amen. That means to come to the vicinity of. That means to get as close as you can get. Amen. Oh, yes. And when you get as close as you can get to God, God will look up and He will see you standing out there on the outside. And He will say, I believe she's trying to get my attention. I believe He's trying, amen, to let me know that He desires me. Amen. And then God will begin to draw. God will begin to draw you unto Himself. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Somebody may say, well, this is simple. Well, it's so simple that so many people can't get it. Amen. Which makes it not so simple. Oh, yes. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And this is how you do it. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. That means be troubled and mourn and weep. Amen. Oh, yes. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. As we approach God, as we approach God, amen, we come cleansing ourselves. Amen. We come admitting that we are a sinner. We come saying, God, my heart is not pure. I need You to purify my heart. Amen. God, I am of a double mind. Part of my mind wants to live for You, and part of my mind wants to be in the world. I'm asking you, God, to do something to my mind, because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God, I don't want to be double-minded when it comes to living for You, when it comes to serving You, but I want a one-track mind. I want a one-track mind. I want a one-direction mind. Is there anybody here that's got a mind made up? Is there anybody here that remembers a time when you were trying to make a decision, but your decision, amen, your mind came together and your thoughts became one, amen, to begin to serve the Lord? Praise God. Amen. What's James saying? He's saying, do something. Don't just wait on God to call you, but do something to get God's attention. Oh, we've got it all in the Word of the Lord. We've got examples of this, and we'll talk about a couple of them in a moment. Amen. Oh, yes. Don't just sit back and expect God to do it all. Sometimes I believe that God just wants us to put forth the effort to show how much we really mean it. Just how important it is to us. Oh my. That we don't believe it's just a take it or leave it. Well, it would be good if it happened, and if it don't happen, well, that's good too. Well, if God draws me, I'll come. If he don't, I won't. Ah, so what? It doesn't really matter. That never gets God's attention. It never gets God's attention. But when a person says, I need God, I want God, I desire God, oh, then that person begins to do some things. Amen. It's the world, and many that would hear me preaching tonight would say, preacher, you're talking about doing works, doing works. What is James talking about here? What is James talking about here? Amen. He's saying, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And then he begins to explain how to draw nigh to God. There are many people who believe that that is works. That's not works. That's desire. Amen. Just like repentance is not works, repentance is a response to the convicting power of God. Amen. Water baptism in Jesus' name is not works, but it is obedience to the word of God. And then speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance is not works, but it is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit. Amen. When the Word of God, amen, talks about works, it's talking about trying to be good enough. Amen. Trying to give to the poor. Amen. Trying to just be a nice person. Amen. Just trying to be a good person. And then that's got so many people confused into believing that they're saved. Amen. Friend, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, you have not yet come to the point of salvation. Amen. Draw near to God. Draw near. Draw near to God. And he will draw near. He will draw near unto you. Amen. Let me read that again. Draw. Would you say draw? Amen. That word draw here means approach God. Amen. I'm approaching Pastor Worth's. Did Pastor Worth put his hand out and say, come here, Brother Wilson? Did you? No. Amen. So in other words, he didn't draw me to him. But I have approached to him. And I've got a feeling that if I would have approached him just in normal circumstances, if I would have approached him and then I would stop, that he'd say, well, come on. You must have something to say to me. You must need my attention for some reason. Am I making sense tonight? Amen. You must have my attention. You must need my attention for some reason. And he'd say, come on over here and sit down beside me and tell me what you got on your mind, Brother Wilson. What you got on your mind? Amen. I have drawn near to him. I have approached him. Amen. I didn't come all the way to him, but I approached him. And when I approached him, he said, come on. Amen. That's what God wants to do for somebody tonight. He wants you to approach him. And when you get to a certain point, God's going to say, come on. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Come on into my presence. Come on into my spirit. Come on and see what I will do unto you. Praise God. Amen. Again, Again, James said, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. What does this mean? That means if you approach God, then God will be at your hand. If you approach God, amen, then God will be at your hand. He will reach out his hand to your hand. Hallelujah. He will reach out his hand to your hand. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Would you just clap your hands to the Lord? Draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto God. Amen. I am not just preaching to somebody tonight who may not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I'm also preaching to saints of God who definitely have the Holy Ghost. Don't wait until you feel God draw you to prayer for you to pray. Don't wait until God draws you to worship for you to worship. Amen. But start talking to him. Start approaching him. Amen. In prayer, just start talking to him. You may not feel a thing, but start talking. Just start talking to him and approaching him. You may not feel anything in church as worship and praise is going on, but clap your hands and lift your voice and begin to praise him. Approach him. Approach him. And in just a little while, you're going to begin to feel something tugging. You're going to begin to feel something pulling. Amen. You are going to begin to feel the hand of God reaching to you. Amen. That's God. That's God drawing nigh unto you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of my favorite scriptures. And I talked the other night about when I was a teenager. And I went through that long, dark, dry spell of not feeling God. Amen. And God came through. And I reached. It was in the middle of the night, I had that dream, and the power of God fell on me in that dream. And I woke up saying, I will not give up. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. And the glory of God just fell on me in my bed. And oh, praise God, what a wonderful experience it was. And I reached over, and I picked my Bible up. It was on my nightstand beside my bed. And I just opened the Word. And instantly my eyes fell on the scripture where the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. God. And I had just awakened saying, I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. Amen. What was I doing? I was drawing near to God. I was drawing near to God. And God said, well, I'm at your right hand. I'm at your right hand. You're not going to backslide. Amen. The devil's not going to destroy you because I am at your right hand. You shall not be moved. Praise God. Amen, amen. We know the story. Most of us know the story of Esther and how that wicked man Haman wanted to destroy her people and how her cousin Mordecai had sat at the king's gate and in sackcloth and ashes Haman didn't like that, because Mordecai would not bow down before Haman. Amen. Oh yes, but Mordecai sent word to Esther, and she came to him, and he said to her, "Do you realize, amen? Do you realize that this man wants to destroy not only your people, but he will even want to destroy you because you are of the Jews." Oh yes. And she said, what am I going to do? And he said, don't you know maybe God brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this? And what did she do? She went and got her maidens, and they went on a prayer and fast chain.
Oh, yes. And on that morning, she got up and she put on her royal apparel. She knew that the law said that if she tried to enter into the king's throne room without the king beating her, she could be put to death. Amen. But oh, she came on anyway. And as she approached, the king looked up and he saw her coming. And when he saw her coming, he put out the royal scepter, which meant, come on in here. Come on in the throne room. Come on to the throne. And when she got in there, he said, whatever you need, you can have it. Praise. Amen. Draw nearer. Draw nearer. And then somebody says, I don't know if God will hear me. Pray anyway. I don't know if God will fill me with the Holy Ghost. Try anyway. I don't know if I can get victory from God. Just put forth the effort anyway. And when you get near, you will understand that God is saying, come on in this throne room. Come on in here. You draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We find Lazarus had died and they had buried him and 4 days he had been dead and Jesus walked to the tomb and told them to roll away the stone and he prayed and then he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And he that had been dead came bounding out of that tomb. Oh, yes, in his grave clothes. Oh, praise God. And Jesus told the Jews, loose him and let him go. We find in the very next chapter that Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and Lazarus had prepared a meal for Jesus. And the Bible said that Mary and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them who sat at the table with him. Praise God. Oh, yes. And there were Jews and Pharisees there that day that hated Jesus. And they had come there not only to see Jesus, but they had come there that they might see Lazarus also, because they were intending to put him to death. But what did Lazarus do? He drew near. He drew near. Hallelujah. He came and he sat down with Jesus because he knew if I can just get close to Jesus, they can't bother me. Praise God. If I can just get close to Jesus, they cannot disturb me. Somebody needs to just see how close you can get to Jesus tonight. He will be your protector. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Musicians, come please. Moses was called to lead God's people. But Moses reached that place where he was not certain. He was not certain. And he had seen just seen some mighty works of God. Oh, yes. He had just seen some he had just seen a cloudy pillar descend as he entered the tabernacle. He had just heard the people as they worshiped the Lord while the cloudy pillar stood at the tabernacle door. The Lord had just spoken to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But Moses still had questions. He said, Lord, he said, see, you said to me, bring up this people. And Lord, you haven't let me know who you're going to send with me to help me. Yet you have said that you know me by my name.
and that I have found grace in your sight. He said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. That chorus they sang tonight went perfect with this message, that song they sang. He said, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses still wasn't satisfied. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. He said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you go with us? We're a separated people. We're a separate people, Lord, from all the people of this world. And I and thy people. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you've spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And I know you by your name, Moses. Now I'm going somewhere with this. And then Moses said, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. And then God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, there is a place by me. And when you get to this place, Moses, you're going to be able to stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. He said, there is a place. There is a place where you'll know that I'm with you. There is a place where you will see the works of my hands. There is a place where you will find my direction. There is a place where you will hear and write my commandments. But that place is by me, Moses. But you're not going to get it down there among the people. You're going to have to climb the mountain. You're going to have to approach me, Moses. Oh, yes. Now, there is a place, but you'll not reach that place until you approach Moses. You've got to put forth the effort, and you've got to climb the mountain, Moses. And it's not going to be easy climbing. As a matter of fact, it's going to be dangerous, even to the point that I'm going to have to put you in a cliff of the rock, and then so that I can walk by you in a dangerous place. But Moses, as long as you're climbing and trying to get near to me, I just want you to know that when you find that place, I'm going to bid you come to me, Moses, and I'm going to set you down beside me, and I'm going to walk all around you. Praise God. I'm going to walk all around you. And you're going to see things that no man has ever seen. You're going to have understanding. And then you're going to learn how the worlds were formed. Praise God. This is where the book of Genesis came to pass. This is where Moses received the knowledge of in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Amen. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is where Moses got that understanding. This is where Moses learned because he was willing to approach God. I'm not just satisfied with just thinking it. I'm not just satisfied with just knowing about it. I want to see how close I can get to you. Because I've got to have a personal experience with you, God. While the music's playing and while the saints are leaving the pews and coming forward and praying, let me invite everybody, draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Oh, I want to get close enough that you recognize me. I want to get close enough, God. I want to come near to you so that you will come near to me. Oh God, I might be feeling like I'm standing on the outside of the throne room. Amen. But God, if you'll put out your royal scepter, because you're the King of Kings, if you'll put out your royal scepter, I'll come on in the throne room. Praise God. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near.
We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from
you, I believe somebody's starting to feel something you've never really felt before. It's because you're drawing near to God. Glory to God. You're drawing near to him. And he's saying, come on. Come closer. Come closer. Oh, you're not doing all the drawing. I'm getting up off my throne right now. I'm taking steps toward you. I'm going to put out my hand. You're going to take my hand. You're going to have the right hand of fellowship with God Almighty himself.
Word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day to show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day, show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. We need to hear from you. We need a word.
Why don't you reach out and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder as if to tell them you're not going to have to climb the mountain alone. Amen. I'm walking up with you. We're going to climb this mountain toward Jesus. We're going to climb this mountain toward the presence of God together. Because God said there is a place. There is a place. Oh, there is a place by me. There is a place by me. I want to help you get to that place. That's what the preaching's about tonight, to help somebody get to that place. Oh, that's what this music and singing is about tonight, to help somebody get to that place. That's why your brother has his hand on your shoulder, to help you get to that place. That's why a sister's praying with you, to help you get to that place.